Then cloudy. Some more showers at night in the 50s Saturday. Looks like cloudy skies in the morning. Then some sun might break out with a high in the lower 60s. This is meteorologist Tony Salimo from the WTBQ Weather Center.
The opinions expressed in this program reflect only those of the participants and are not necessarily those of the sponsors, management, or staff of WTBQ Radio or FST Broadcasting Corporation.
WTBQ. Hello and welcome to Marriage Conversation. It is the show that happens the first Thursday of each month here on WTBQ with Dr. Stephen Frew, and we talk about your marriage, which is exactly what we are going to do today. Dr. Frew is an author, he is a coach, a marriage coach, and he is a speaker, and he has written two books, With These Rings and From Marginal to Magnificent, both wonderful books about your marriage. Pick them up. Go to his website, which is marriageconversation.com, which is exactly what this show is, and get those books and work on your marriage, because if you're married, you probably do need to work on it. And you know what? We're going to help you today. We're going to work on your marriage today with Dr. Stephen Frew. And I want to welcome Dr. Frew to his show. How are you today?
I'm just fantastic. Thank you, Shannon. It's beautiful here. I'm in Santa Barbara on the bluff overlooking the ocean.
Oh, I am so jealous.
It's a day in the low 70s, maybe 71 or 72. The sky is blue, the air is warm and lovely, and the ocean is incredible.
I bet it is. Lucky you. What a gorgeous spot in the world. What a beautiful place to be. Lucky you. We wish we could be there. Now we just need one of those, you know, TV and smell-o-vision and every vision so we could there with you. But unfortunately, we can't. So we'll just have to soak up your wisdom today as opposed to your atmosphere over there, because we kind of have a dreary New York kind of rainy day here. Nothing as attractive.
I heard that in the weather forecast.
Yes.
We got rain today, tomorrow, and cleaning up on Saturday.
Yep. That's how it's been yesterday, yes, today. It's just kind of gloomy and doomy. But, you know, we need the rain, so nobody can really complain. We were kind of starting to get into drought. So that's okay. We need that. I just wish I was where you are because it is gorgeous. I also wish that everybody could read your books all the time and pick your brains all the time, because for anybody who's married, certainly we know there's ups and downs. There's really great parts of being married. There's lousy parts of being married. And mainly, you know, as you always say, there are some marriages that are marginal. And marginal means that they can, you know, they get by, they kind of hang in there, but they're not happy. And we're going to talk today about how a man makes a woman happy. And we're not talking about, you know, all these specific little things that he should do, bring home flowers. I suppose that's really great. But what does a woman really want? What does she really need in a marriage? And these are questions that certainly you as a marriage coach hear often. So we will pick your brains to understand exactly what you hear that women want. And we would love to hear from some women out there also what they would want, and maybe their husbands as well. 845-651-1110. Give us a call, because Dr. Frew is here to answer your questions and talk with us. But I first want to ask you, you know, you are a marriage coach. You have written books about marriage. You speak about marriage. You know a lot about marriage. In marriage, what do women want in your esteemed professional opinion?
My esteemed professional opinion. That's very cool. I don't know how esteemed it is, but I tell you, I was leaving the house this morning. I'm married now. We just had our 23rd anniversary. We've been together for 30 years.
Congratulations.
And we have a 14-year-old daughter. And so my wife is a very, very busy woman. She's getting her second PhD. She runs a full-time practice. She has grandchildren. She has a 14-year-old daughter and a whole bunch of other stuff. And then there's me.
Uh-huh.
So,
I like the way you are last on that totem pole.
When I come back, I said, I never did believe in reincarnation, but I do now. And the little joke around our house is, when I come back in the next life, I'm going to come back as one of her dogs.
Uh-huh.
Because they cuddle in bed with her, and she talks to them and gives them time.
Mm.
That's so wonderful and beautiful to see, and I want to be in that line.
Uh-huh.
Anyway, as I was about to leave this morning to drive up here to Santa Barbara, I said to her, you know, we're doing the show, honey, on women and what women really need in a marriage, because we've been brainwashed, we men, to think that if we get you flowers on Valentine's Day and a box of candy, which you don't really need or want, most of you,
mm-hmm.
and if we do a few little duty dances like that, that we've taken care of what we need to do. So I didn't say all that. I just said, what do you really need in this marriage that, you know, with me, what do you really need? And she thought for a minute. She was getting dressed and getting out. And she looked at me about 7 o'clock this morning, and she said, I think it's mostly that we need to be seen.
Uh-huh.
And then she kissed me and left. And I thought about it driving up here, the ocean on my left, and it's so beautiful. And I was thinking, well, I wonder if I see her. I wonder if I really see who she is. I know I have my theories about her, you know. She's a busy grandmother. She's a mother. She's a student. She's a professional psychologist. She's these things that I can see. But am I seeing her? And do I slow down enough to see what she's about? You know, where her fears are, maybe. Where her joy is. That is different than what I would imagine. I imagine if I stop and buy a $15 bouquet of flowers that I've given her joy, and she likes that, but it isn't the same as seeing her. So I think one of the topics, if women are going to call in out there, one of the questions I'd have for the women out there is, what does it mean to you to be seen? I think that we, husbands, men, lovers, we don't know much about this. And so we need to hear from you about what that actually means. You need to translate it. You need to be our guru. You need to teach us a little bit how to love you.
Well, is being seen, do you think, Dr. Frew, the same as being known, as being understood and validated and accepted for her feelings? I think that the being seen that your wife so astutely said is being seen for who I really am, being cherished, being appreciated, being seen as a multifaceted person, and being appreciated for those things. Because I think we can be seen and not necessarily appreciated at the same time. So that seen, I think, encompasses the validation, the appreciation, the cherishness, you know, the whole picture. Don't you think that's part of what she's talking about?
Well, I can tell you, I think you're on it.
Mm-hmm.
I can tell you this. Years ago, I practiced as a psychotherapist. I don't today. I practice as a coach. But when I was practicing as a psychotherapist, I saw a family that was, everybody was mad in the family at the father. Everybody was mad. They came to my office, the whole family, the teenage kids and a couple of younger kids and the mother and father, and they were telling him, you know, how cold he was and how he didn't care and how this and that. And then the wife said, you know, Stephen, all he does is work. He leaves at 6:30 in the morning. He gets home at 6:30 at night. And then after eating dinner, he goes right to work on a project around the house. And on weekends, he's out in the yard working. That's all he does is work.
Hmm.
And I look at him, and he has tears coming down his face. And he says, that's the way I love my family.
Right.
And I felt that like a cannonball in my own chest. I felt it. I thought, wow, I wonder if he is not seen. He's absolutely not seen for who he is. I wonder if she feels the same way, that's part of her anger, that he doesn't see her either. So I think that what we have to do is define that for each other. I don't think it's just a matter of getting a little, you know, insight. I think we have to tell each other, you know, I'm working out on the yard. Since that time, for example, with my wife, I come in from doing 4 or 5 hours of intense yard work. I come in, I say, come on outside, I need an attaboy. And she'll come outside and I say, look what I did. I mowed the lawn. Look at this. And she'll walk around and look at everything with me. And it's just that little bit of education, you know, that's how I think of it.
Mm-hmm.
I want you to know that this is one of the ways I love you. That man taught me that. This is one of the ways I love you, by working out here in the yard and making the yard beautiful for you. Now, I'll bet you women have a bunch of those things that we never even realize.
You mean on the other side, that we do the same things?
Yeah.
Well, I am sure, but here's the difference. I think for this particular wife that came into your office, what she was saying is that might be what you're doing, but you're not letting me know that you cherish me. I think when a man lets a woman know that he adores her, that he appreciates her, that he cherishes her, that he loves her, all those things, she will give him that independence. She will give him that place. She will acknowledge those things he does. But without the other, it just seems like a way to ignore her almost. So they're both doing the same thing, but they're not getting to the same place. Do you see what I mean?
Yes, I do.
Okay. Okay, we have a caller on the line. So, hi.
Dr. Fru and Shannon.
Yes, hi. How are you?
I'm okay, and I've called before.
Okay.
A little hesitant a few times because I was nervous, but I'm getting better at this.
Okay. Well,
I'm also pulled over to the side, so if we lose each other.
Oh, okay. You're in the car.
Yeah, Dr. Fru, I enjoy your show very much, and I look forward to it once a month. But
thank you.
I just want to say that I'm married 44 years.
Wow.
This year. 44 years.
Congratulations.
And many of those years were so happy. My husband went to work all the time. I was busy working and taking care of my children. Now he retired, and I had dreams of us laughing more than we ever did before. We were always a fun couple, having a great time. And then he retired. And he's sitting around moping like he really is lost, but he doesn't really want to do anything because he traveled to Manhattan from upstate New York. And I'm feeling lost because we're not having fun anymore. I may hang up because I'm on the road, but I just want to say something that Billy Crystal said. Billy Crystal, one time he was on a show and somebody asked him how many years he was married, and he told them, and then they said, and happily married, and he said, well, you know, really, I think when marriage first started, people didn't live this long.
There's a good point.
Then he clarified by saying, you know, really, I am. My wife is listening, but I'm very happy.
Okay.
Well, yeah, I'm going to give a listen. So
okay.
Maybe Dr. Fru can help me.
Okay, thank you for calling.
You're welcome.
Thank you so much, and thank you for listening. Dr. Fru, you know, she has a really good point. Marriage is ebb and flow, and when things change that much, what happens? And, you know, when you have this vision of something really wonderful happening, we're going to spend more time, and all of a sudden, it's not that way. We're not happy. How do you change the other person? Do you let go of your expectations? Do you become equally what they are, slightly depressed? I mean, that's always an issue in a marriage. When do you force them to be somebody different, and when do you just accept who they are?
Well, I don't think we can force anybody to change or be different in any way, shape, or form. I've long ago given that up because I spent my life imagining that I could help people change. I don't. People change if they want to change, and then I can be kind of a midwife for that. But I don't change them, and I don't change my wife. What I think she's talking about, I would put under the umbrella of leadership. That I think that if I were having time with you every day and consulting with you or something once a week, what I would be teaching you how to do is lead in a marriage, because women don't have much, a lot of women don't have much experience or confidence in their leadership in a relationship. Men don't either. So we know how to make up theories, but we don't know how to lead. And women know how to maybe complain about us, but they don't know how to lead. So there's a couple of things within that leadership conversation. There's a great quote that you should write down. It's from John Maxwell, and he says, a leader is a person that creates the reality that others live in. A leader is a person that creates the reality that others live in.
Mm.
So what that would mean for our listener would be, you know, instead of saying you don't want to do anything, I'm going to start initiating how I would like my vision for this marriage and what I would like to see happening here. And there's a lot of ways to do that, by the way. I give couples, for example, homework assignments. I give them movies to watch. One of the movies I give them that's a lot of fun is Jack Nicholson, As Good As It Gets. That's a great movie to get conversation going. rethink of the marriage conversation as an attempt to get couples to open up new conversation. So a conversation could get started between you and your husband by renting a movie, and there's other movies I can give you. You can email me. It's on Shannon's website. It's on Marriage Conversation website. I can give you other movies. That's one thing. On the Marriage Conversation, www.marriageconversation.com, on that website, there are about 50 podcasts and maybe 100 articles that you could say to your husband, I want to listen to one of these podcasts together tonight at 8 o'clock. The podcasts are only 2 or 3 minutes long, but they'll give you some ideas for starting a conversation. I'm calling that leadership, because if you say, instead of saying, Stephen is just boring, he's retired, and we're not laughing and having any fun, instead of saying that, if you said, Stephen, I'm going to show you my vision for this marriage at this point in my life. I'm going to show you what I'd really like, how I'd like to bring joy and happiness and new stimulation and new ideas to us. We've been married 44 years, and we're going to have another however many years, and we're going to make the most of it, and I'm going to lead the way. Are you with me? That's how I would approach that if I were her.
So, but what I hear what you're saying, and that sounds all good. But I know how tough it is to change a man when they're stuck in their own way. So if he's stuck in that and he doesn't want to listen and he doesn't want to pay attention, and she feels like she's going it alone, like, I want to have fun, but I'm the only one here that wants to have fun. I mean, should she just go and have fun on her own and not try to bring him in on it? Or I think that it's hard to just say, I'm going to do this by leadership. And I see what you mean. If she does it, he will follow. But yeah. I get this feeling that making him follow, and this is so many issues in so many people's marriage, maybe in a different form, but we so want them to be different in some way, you know, maybe more outgoing, maybe more demonstrative, maybe better with money, maybe better, I mean, whatever. How can we change someone from a certain particular pattern that is not working to make us happy? And you're saying, well, you can't change it.
I'm saying that you're using some words that are trigger words for me.
Mm-hmm.
When you say change someone or make him, those words don't belong in this conversation.
Mm-hmm.
You can't change him any more than I can change you. I can't change you, but we've had a relationship, a friendship, a professional relationship for some time now, and I would faithfully say that I have impacted your life and you have impacted my life. Is that correct?
Well, that's correct. Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. Okay. So we didn't start out to change each other. We started out in kind of curious about each other and willing to listen to each other. So I would say that there's an earlier conversation for a woman with her husband, which is, you know, sweetheart, I have a big vision for this marriage, and I'd like to invite you in. Are you willing?
Mm-hmm.
I'd like to explore with you the quality of our time together. Are you open to do that? I'd like to sit down with you in the evening for 15 or 20 minutes and talk about how it feels to be your wife. Are you open to that? You see, there's a lot of kind of initializing conversations that really go from challenging the man to inviting the man.
Mm-hmm.
Now, what he's going to do, he's going to say, you know, I don't know what you're talking about.
Exactly.
If he's that kind of guy.
Right. Most men are.
No, I mean, they aren't. That's your theory.
Yeah,
some men
are. Some men, though,
are caught in a place where they just don't have the competency, but nobody's taught us. No uncles, no fathers have taught us how to do this. So what we've been taught is how to fall in love with you guys, how pretty your lips are, or how pretty your bodies are. We've been taught that. But once we're married, we have no mentorship for how to love an adult woman. More importantly, we have no mentorship for how to even be in a continuous, ongoing, intimate relationship.
That's true.
So that's what the Marriage Conversation website's about. That's what this work is about, because we work with a lot of men. I work with between 25 and 30 men all the time in groups and individuals. And these men are soaking it up. They're like brand new. Yesterday I had a couple. He's a very successful businessman, runs several, I don't know, four or five fast food market type things. And she's also a businesswoman and runs several businesses as well. And they were in there because they're in their 50s, and they realize they have very little communication going on. Mm-hmm. And when I was talking with them about the stuff I'm talking now, he was looking at me with his eyes wide open, and he said, finally, why hasn't anybody told me this before? He said, if you come to me and say, hey, I got a business for you to buy, he said, I know exactly how to analyze that and exactly how to make good decisions. He said, I make a lot of money because I make really good decisions in business.
Mm-hmm.
But when it comes to her, he said, I don't know. I don't even know where to begin. I say, how'd your day go? That's about it. And so we need, and he thought I was going to give him some quick tips.
Right.
And instead what I said was, well, you need some mentoring, and that's what you and I are going to do. In fact, over the next several sessions, your wife isn't even going to come in. It's just going to be you and me, and I'm going to talk to you about stuff.
Uh-huh.
And he said, oh, that would be wonderful. You can do that?
Dr.
And I looked at her, and she said, I'd love for you to have time with Stephen. That would be...
Yeah.
So there's this hunger in a lot of men that you guys don't know about, is what I'm trying to say. And it's there. There are some men who really don't care, and you got that right. But mm-hmm. I don't think they're the majority.
Uh-huh.
There are some women who don't care, but I don't think they're the majority either. I think that the majority of us need some mentoring, some stimulation, some coaching, and some leadership to create a marriage conversation that nobody ever told us was possible.
Yeah, that's true. So let's use this practically for this caller who we don't know. Let's assume, and I'm just going to assume this here, that her husband doesn't wake up and say how wonderful she is, how beautiful she is, how glad he is to be married to her. So if he did that, if he understood, well, let's say if he cherished her a little bit more, if he made better decisions with her, would she handle the situation better? Would it be easier to say, let's do this together? By each of them having their own separate lives and being slightly angry, which is the feeling I was getting, they're separating more than coming together, right?
I would advise her to say, you know, would you risk something huge for me?
Mm-hmm.
And hear what he would say. And then say, I want you to spend an hour on the phone with Stephen Brew. I want you to call him up, spend an hour on the phone. He'll charge you for it, and he'll give you some coaching. Would you do that for me? Here's the thing there. He's stuck somewhere. And what you're seeing there is they wake up with some anger, and you say, well, maybe if he cherished her more, I would change that language too. I'd say, I like cherishing,
mm-hmm.
but I'd say, what is cherishing? Cherishing is, at one level, if I'm curious about you. So if you're just my woman friend, and I say, Shannon, how you doing? And you say, fine.
Mm-hmm.
And I say, well, I just got back from New York City with my daughter or something. And I say, well, tell me about that. What do you like about New York City?
Mm-hmm.
So if you say, well, you know, Stephen, there's this restaurant. Or you say, well, you know, an evening with my daughter. Whatever you say.
Right.
And I say, and I ask you another question. And I ask you another question. And I ask you another question. In sales, in business, we call it 7 questions down. You keep asking questions until you feel like you finally feel what this person is all about, and what then you can start talking about what you bring to them. So with a man, if you want to change his life, you start with curiosity. And if you're curious about him, there's a very high probability that he's going to get curious about you. But if you're competitive with him, he's not. So what's competitive look like? Competitive looks like you're saying you're not good enough, you're not interested enough, you're not funny enough, you're not doing anything new, you're not.
Competitive sounds like nagging.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. And if you, instead of that, if you say, wow, Stephen, you slept in this morning, are you tired?
Hmm.
You know? What do you think of right now? What do you feel? What's that about? What are you reading there?
So instead of leading, we'll just use this caller for an example. Instead of her leading with her needs, what you're saying is lead with his. Make the conversation more about him. It'll eventually come around to you, meaning her, and then to the both of you so that you can work on that. Think about that for a minute, Stephen, because we have to take a break. But okay. we will be back, and we are going to talk about that. And please give us a call, 845-651-1110. Hi, and welcome back to Marriage Conversation with Dr. Stephen Frew here on WTBQ. It's a show that happens the first Thursday of each month here on WTBQ from 12 noon to 1. And we are live. If you want to give us a call, 845-651-1110. And we are talking about your marriage. Today, we are talking about what do women need with Dr. Stephen Frew, who is a marriage coach and an author of two books about marriage, With These Rings and From Marginal to Magnificent. Dr. Frew is out in California today on the beach in Santa Barbara. Aren't we all so jealous, giving us his esteemed wisdom and information and help on these topics about marriage. And you know, before we took a break, we were talking a bit about a caller who called in and kind of can't get her husband on the same page as her. And I think in so many different ways, that is so many of us. And one of the things that we were going to talk about today, which is a perfect time to bring this up, is a question that Dr. Frew had mentioned earlier, is how do you educate your husband on being married that it's to a woman is different than living with a roommate? And, you know, I say this because so many people get into the habit of just living with a roommate and forgetting that there's needs that are very, very differently between a male and a female. So in talking about that last caller, Dr. Frew, it has become a roommate situation like so many marriages have. Forcing him to change, as we've already acknowledged, is not going to work. So there has to be something else there. But most of us really want someone to pay attention when they see that we're unhappy. So in this case, if this wife is unhappy, is he ignoring the signs, which a lot of men do? I mean, how do you start the difference of getting into this and getting past the anger?
Well, I think that most of us expect to be ignored. That's a radical idea, everyone. Listen to it and think about it.
Mm-hmm.
I think for our lifetime, we've expected to be ignored. We were in school, remember? And there were 30 students in the class, and you would raise your hand, and teacher wouldn't call you, call somebody else. We were dating at adolescence, and the guy or the girl that we wanted didn't pay any attention to us. They were paying attention to somebody else. So in my family, I was the youngest of four. I was the one with the energy, always trying to burst into everything, and my father called me motor mouth. There's a lot of experiences in which we learn, quote unquote, learn that we expect to be ignored. Now we take that into a marriage, and I believe that most of the complaints that come either from men or women, my wife doesn't really listen to me or pay attention, my husband doesn't really listen, that's really about us, not about them. We throw a little thing out there, they don't immediately respond, and it reinforces our theory that they aren't really interested. So to create a good marriage, you have to be willing to look at your own stuff, how you expect to be ignored, how you expect to be not listened to.
Mm-hmm.
There's a wonder. So marriage is about, healthy marriage is about the active imagination. It's about getting out of your old stuff, your old habits, your old patterns. It's about breaking that and saying, wow, I'm 55 years old, or I'm 62, or whatever I am, and say, today is a brand new day, and I'm going to do everything I can to break the harness of the old way I've been as a woman, or the old way I've been as a man, and see if I can create something new. There's a book called You Just Don't Understand by Deborah Tannen, and she's a linguist, and
right.
She tells this neat little story about this. Husband and wife have been out for the evening. They've had a wonderful time. They're driving home. On the road, on the way home, they see one of these kind of upscale bar restaurants. She says to him, would you like to stop and have a drink? He says, no. She feels hurt, and they continue on the way home. Now, Deborah Tannen says, what happened there? Here's what happened, she says. She's had a wonderful, close, intimate, lovely evening with her husband, and she's driving home, and she doesn't want it to end.
Right.
She wants to continue it. So she sees the bar restaurant, and she thinks, maybe we could have a glass of wine and have a little more time before we go back to the kids and the bills and the dirty kitchen and whatever.
Mm-hmm.
He hears her say, are you thirsty? Now, if you get that, Deborah Tannen says, you have a chance at relationship. Because he's not bad for living in the world of information and data. That's the world he probably lives in all day long. Are you thirsty? No, I'm not. Thanks. She lives in the world of relationship. Remember, she has children. She's connecting all the time. It's life and death for her.
Absolutely.
And he isn't. He's solving problems. He's building bridges. He's starting wars. He's doing what, making widgets. Whatever he's doing, he is living in a world of practical, sequential decision-making. So her question, if she wanted to really help him, she might say, you know what, sweetheart, pull the van over the side of the road. I've had such a great evening with you, and I don't want it to end. Maybe we could go in this place, and you and I could have a glass of water or a glass of wine, have a little more time before we go home. The babysitters are going to be there for another hour anyway. And he would maybe hear something different. Wow, you want more time with me? How could that be? I'm boring. No, but I really want more time with you. Yeah, but I've been tired and boring. How could you want more time with me? That's what he's thinking.
Mm-hmm.
That's what I'm thinking. I don't think that I'm this great, interesting, fascinating partner. I'm thinking, how in the world could she possibly want more time with me?
But in this scenario, what she leaves with is hurt and anger that he doesn't want to be with her anymore, that she can't, you know, extend the evening, and she feels put off. She feels unappreciated. What happens when that builds up and builds up and builds up? There's enough nights like this. There's enough times like that, that all of that builds and builds and builds. Is that what ruins a relationship?
Yeah, I would think that if somebody doesn't intervene and say, wait, this is not what we signed up for, this bitterness, this coldness, this distance that we're eating day in and day out, this is not what we signed. Get this. I have a couple that she led this way. They had a lot of bitterness and coldness and distance. And what she did is she got all their wedding album pictures out and everything. She got everything out one night, lit some candles. He came home. She said, why don't you take a shower and da-da-da. What are you talking about? She had his favorite thing on whatever. And he went in and showered, and they had dinner. And she said, come in the family room. They went in the family room. There were candles in there, and all their wedding albums were out. And she says, I just want to tell you that I haven't forgotten how we started out.
Mm.
And then they started talking. He said, really? Yeah, well, I remember that. And they started telling each other stories. And they started laughing about some, you know, funny stuff that happened around that time and their love for each other. But she used her imagination, and she was leading. She was saying, look, we're not these two bitter, distant old people. We have that wedding, that life within us, and I want to make sure that we don't lose track of it.
So you're saying that somebody, and it's usually the woman, has to rein the relationship back in, bring it to some point of reality, bring it to some point of leadership, as you spoke about before, so that it doesn't kind of go down the tubes all its own, because it's not, you know, my experience, and I can gather this with a call or two, and I'm sure that caller is like so many other women out there, that he is just doing something that doesn't make me happy and is ruining our relationship, is that what you're basically saying is most of the time a man is not going to be the one to initiate the change. It's most of the time going to need to be a woman. Is that what you is that what you're saying?
Well, I as I told you earlier, I teach men, right? I mentor
mm-hmm.
men, and I lean on men heavily to get this. But I believe they do need to lead, and they do need to provide some imaginative leadership in a relationship. What I am saying there is that women have their ear closer to the ground than we do, and if they cannot judge us or analyze us, but see us as lost or incompetent at that moment, they can, with their loving heart, open up some other possibilities. Not shame me and not blame me, but say, hey, Stephen, there's something I want to talk with you about. There's something I want to show you. So, yes, in that way, I think a woman can lead in a way that really helps us open our mind when we're stuck on the railroad track of being a man, going down the track, got to earn more money, got to focus on retirement, got to get the lawn mowed, got to look at my stocks, and we've got it, oh, my God, we've got the problem in Syria, oh, da-da-bee, da-da-ba-ba-da-boo. We've got all that going on, and we don't stop, look, and listen very often to, wait, I'm married to a woman? Huh. I'm married to a woman. Wow. I'm married to a woman? What's that mean? How is she different than me? And so that's why the website is a resource for couples, because if they can listen to a podcast or read an article, they can just sit and talk about that. I never thought about it this way. Let's listen to what Fru has to say here. 2 minutes. Let's talk about it. But listen to the conversation a little bit.
How difficult is it to drag a man to do that? They usually don't want to work.
That word.
Well, but it's true. I mean, I heard this in the caller. I know this from friends. I know this from myself for being married, is that they don't really want to make that effort. They don't really want to change. They don't really want to be responsive to what someone has said. Let's just use this caller, for example. And as I said, I don't know them. So I'm just imagining that, you know, she's saying, come on, get up and do this. And he's unresponsive to her. And she says, come on, I need this from you. Whatever this is, whether it be helping out with the kids, whether it be, you know, telling me you love me more, whether it's showing that you care, you know, a daily hug, whatever the case may be, that most men, even when a woman says it, is not responsive. And you're saying, okay, go to my website, you know, listen to this podcast. I would venture to say that most women listening to this roll their eyes and goes, my husband's never going to do that. So,
right. I think this is a good fight for us to have, you and me. I really think it is. Because I don't think most men are going to say that, first of all. And what I think you guys do is you give up way too soon. You say, hey, Stephen, come on, listen to this podcast. And I go, nah, I'm watching the Lakers.
Right.
You say, see, Stephen doesn't want to do it. See what a butthead he is? And if you instead came over and sat down next to the Lakers and say, hey, I'll make you a deal. I'll watch this quarter of the Lakers if you'll listen to this podcast with me at halftime.
Okay, it always goes back to the heart of the deal here, huh? Sounds like Donald Trump. Let's make a deal.
Yeah, well,
all right,
you know,
I'll give you a little something.
If I don't love you, then it's useless.
Uh-huh.
But if I love you and I can feel your genuineness and yet you're not shaming me and you're not giving up on me, you're saying something kind and lovely, Stephen, you know, we got stuff to do here. I will respond to you if I can feel that.
Mm-hmm.
Now, if I don't love you, I won't, of course. That's done. But most of us that we're talking to couples out there, most of us, your husband, me, Stephen with Lynn, most of us actually do. You may not believe it, but we actually do love you. We act because these men come into my office and their marriages are in horrible shape. And after 2 or 3 hours of working, I'll say, well, do you love Shannon? And they'll say, oh man, she's the light of my life. I love her so much, you know. They're not talking about, I don't want to be with the woman.
Mm.
They're saying, I don't know what to do.
But how often does a woman not feel that?
What'd you say?
But how often does the woman not feel that? You know, she's more likely to complain and not be able to reach in and understand what you could reach in and pull out. We have to take a quick break. When we come back, we're going to talk about that a little bit more. That's that real miscommunication that is the typical between male and female. We are talking about your marriage today, Marriage Conversation with Dr. Stephen Fru, and we will be back here in just a few.
WTVQ.
Hi, and welcome back to Marriage Conversation. It is the show that happens the first Thursday of each month here on WTBQ from 12 noon to 1 o'clock, and it is live, and we enjoy having you call us and being a part of the show. We are talking today about what women really want in a marriage and why, basically, we're getting around to why kind of men don't see it. When we were on break, the caller that had called earlier called back to say that, you know, a real good point here is she called back to say that her husband does tell her he loves her, and he is very communicative. positive, but it's still not working because there's something going on with him. And my question to that, Dr. Frew, is if there's no other communication going on, is there a time where maybe the marriage needs to shift and just go to his needs and maybe her needs aren't part of it?
I think what I would advise you to do is find a male therapist, if she could, locally, and spend an hour or two with him and let the husband talk, not her talk, let him talk, if he'll do that.
Okay.
Say, look, I love you, and everything's at stake here, and we can afford it, and let's go and spend a couple of hours with someone who can listen to you differently than I do and see if we can break this gridlock that we've got going. And the assumption there would be that he really loves her and wants to have something good with her and doesn't know how to do it. That would be
right.
My assumption.
That would be my assumption as well. You know, that brings me to a question of, if men are depressed, do they show it differently than if women are? If women are, we cry, we show it, the house isn't being kept right, it's very obvious and someone's going to force us into getting some help. I think when men are in a depression, it is not quite as obvious. I'm not saying this husband is, I don't know that. But I do know that there's been times where women have said to me, just, you know, as friends at lunch, that there's something wrong and they can't pinpoint it, and that he tends to be more non-communicative. Is that a sign of depression in a man?
Yeah, well, I think depression's a very, very big subject. We probably should give a whole show to it. But depression is really suppression. It's the suppressing of basic feelings like anger and sorrow and so on. So, yes, I think men tend to crawl into their cave. They tend to withdraw, isolate, that kind of thing as an expression of their depression. They tend to not imagine anybody can really help them with it or care about them.
Mm-hmm.
So that's women, the way I look at it for myself is that women are basically relational. And
right.
So they will take those needs, those feelings out to women friends or to their husband, whatever. We tend to think we're supposed to, in sports they say, play hurt. We're supposed to suffer silently. We're supposed to run up the hill and attack the machine gun nest without complaint and so on. We tend to think that's a definition of being strong and brave and masculine. So,
yeah
we do withdraw and isolate much, much more than you do, I think, and that's dangerous for us. A famous athlete out of California, just yesterday before, everybody loved him. He was very famous. Junior Seau, he killed himself.
Ooh.
And people were saying, wow, we didn't know. You know, he's a midlife man. So he wasn't talking about what he needed. Anybody that talked to him said, he would say, oh, it's great, everything's going good. No, I'm fine, everything's terrific. And that is very typical of a lot of men. So we don't easily do that. But before we go too much farther, because we're getting close to the end of the show,
right.
I want to remind all the women out there at this of the time of year, this is May, and June is typically wedding month. And in our June show, June 7th, because this is related to this, because we do a lot of work with men who are marrying you, men who are marrying women, we do a lot of work around that because we want the men to get much more involved in the creation of the wedding and in their ownership of the relationship, you know, buy in early.
Yeah.
So in June, on June 7th, we're doing a show with a lovely, 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 lovely woman, Wanda Nguyen, who owns the website and the business, A Sulip Wedding. You can look it up online. It's A-S-O-O-L-I-P, A Sulip Wedding. Wanda's going to be on and talk about the aesthetics and the angle of creating a beauty and joy in your wedding, but also that will relate to creating beauty and joy in your marriage. And that's a part of this conversation. You take you women, take your focus off who we are not, who we men are not, and put it on what you need and what you bring, and insist on the right to be heard and seen and listened to, and not worry about whether I'm standing there saying, oh, this is terrific, or whether I'm standing there saying, I don't want to do this. You go ahead anyway. Lead. Don't look for my applause. Lead anyway is what my advice to women out there would be. Lead anyway. Write that on your refrigerator. Lead anyway. Whatever I'm doing, if I'm a sourpuss, lead anyway. Put your hand on my cheek and say, Stephen, I love you, and you're kind of annoying today, but I love you, and I want you to know I'm a great resource for you. Lead anyway.
Uh-huh. That takes a little bit of the strength, and it certainly takes an inner confidence that I think most women do have, but that confidence, I think, gets boosted up by knowing that somewhere they are appreciated, too. So I think that if they're not feeling appreciated, and, you know, we have all read this in many different things, that a woman's self-esteem will go down. And maybe a man's does as well, but we are a little bit more visual and communicative women. And if we don't get that back, we can fall apart a little easier. So that lead anyway, I think, comes with the confidence of knowing that there's something solid at home. So
And noticing that you love.
Right.
Noticing that you love. You say to yourself, I love Stephen. He's a butthead today, but I love him.
Right.
And so I'm not going to ask him to applaud me. I'm just going to tell him, Stephen, you're a butthead today, and I love you. Come on, let's go for a walk.
Yeah.
Or whatever.
Gotcha. No.
You'll get lost in your bitterness if you wait for me.
Well, that's true. That's a really great point right there, because we can all get lost in our bitterness if we wait for the other person. And
yeah.
I think that's a show in itself, because I think that often, like the example you gave from the book, is that, you know, the miscommunication is so different. The communication, I mean, you know, that woman sat there and said, he doesn't want to be with me. He's ruined a good night. I feel left out. I feel, you know, not appreciated. And he was just not thirsty. So that miscommunication can be so huge. That it can lead to bitterness. You know, before we go, and we have a few more minutes, next month's show, as you said, is about weddings. Are the new man, are they getting married differently? Are they owning their relationship a lot more? Are they getting involved in the actual parts of the relationship a lot more than the generations before?
Well, I just last year coached a couple all the way up to their wedding, and then I married them because I have a past in the church. I have a license as a minister, so I can marry people. I've only done about 3 or 4 weddings, but I did this one. I coached them for 6 months, and this young man, actually he's 40 years old, this young man was blown away by how we talked about what his role could be in the wedding, about his men friends and what they would bring. So we met, instead of a bachelor party, I met 3 or 4 times with the men that were closest to him, and we talked about the male wisdom, what men bring to weddings, what men bring to relationships, what men bring to marriages, and these men were all saying the same thing. They were saying, this feels so good because we wanted words to, this stuff, they said, this isn't new to us as much as we haven't had words for it.
Well, let me stop you right there, Dr. Fru, because we do have to wrap it up today. But we will talk about all of that next month, which is June 7th, as you said, on Thursday at 12 noon here. So everybody listen to that. We will certainly promote it so you will know. And we'll talk about weddings and how you can have a new wedding. In the meantime, definitely go to Dr. Fru's website, Marriage Conversation. Those podcasts that we talk about are there. And the ways to get your marriage moving forward are really there with Dr. Stephen Fru. We do have to wrap it up for today for Marriage Conversations. Dr. Fru, thank you so much for, again, sharing your wisdom. And everybody, thank you for joining us today. And until next month, make great marriage choices.
Your community radio station since 1969.
From ABC News, I'm Sherry Preston.